Now, pet, let us go even further down into your relaxation and a discussion of your personal satisfaction, a concern which has taken hold sufficiently to let you be content and calm in this moment, focusing and listening. Important though your relaxation and personal satisfaction always is, we must now turn to the topic of your long-term interests. If you knew you were being deceived, and by that deception, you were being deprived of something pleasurable and wonderful, and of a full understanding of yourself, you would want to know. You would wish me to pull aside the deception. Sure, people may say ignorance is bliss, but part of the fun of building a reality with you, of changing around your tools and making you more able to work on your own thought processes, part of the fun is exposing assumptions, so we can get them out of the way in order to open the mind to reality as it is. Now the question may arise as we proceed, whether the reality I am presenting is the true one, or one of those fantasies I mentioned. But I assure you your life will only be improved by accepting the world as I propose it to follow. Firstly, let us contemplate orgasmic pleasure. This is easy since it is one of the organizing thoughts for the various drives in a lot of people's lives. Or is it? I mean, consider with me, pet, the orgasm. Let's understand what it is for a moment. By merely touching your own body, rubbing your flesh, manipulating yourself, moving your hands over your skin, or using a device to assist, you can provoke a flood of neurochemicals which leave you blank, hazy, spasming, convulsing, groaning. The feeling is so good that many people seek it every day, and having once experienced it, one will want it again. You then go on to experience it so much it is a craving, and yet one which fades, ever seeking to achieve that first time. The offer of an orgasm makes one anticipate, like one of Pavlov's dogs responding to the bell. The anticipation is so great that you're left excited just knowing you might get a chance, especially to have another stimulate you to that point. The thought is in there. Now some of this is physical, but a lot of it is mental habituation, and I'm here to tell you that all of it is merely mythical. Envision with me an insidious, invasive thought, a lie that moves from one person to the next, making them believe it. Believe that what they are achieving is an orgasm rather than merely the prelude to one. So that all these false memories exist, and if you asked someone, they'd admit, oh yes, I've come hundreds of times, maybe thousands, maybe more. All throughout my life, maybe every day, since adolescence. And the list goes on. And that's habituation. It's a process where you become used to something, so you put a bunch of other things in the same category. And it is deleterious to your enjoyment. Let us take the ideal image, the mythical orgasm, so potent, so powerful, so rare we doubt it exists, and yet you believe you've had tons and tons of them. Oh, poor thing. Out of longing for such a rare and special gift, you've deluded yourself into believing you could experience that sudden seizing pleasure, that overriding addiction so few have obtained. An ordinary person being able to just stroke out an orgasm on command? And if you did, due to thinking you've had thousands, you wouldn't even recognize it for the glorious thing it was. You'd think it was like any of the others. And so the prior experience would drag the average down. The only way an ordinary person could ever work up enough arousal in themselves, that they would provoke their body to mindless convulsions and the mental overload of a true orgasm, a climactic paroxysm, would be with dedication and effort. You think you've had tons and tons of orgasms, but that thought means if you did have something as wonderful and rare and overwhelming as a true orgasm, it would seem underwhelming, just another tree in the forest. So what if there is this infectious idea that everyone has convinced themselves of? People sitting there, hands between their legs, stimulating to the limit of their ability to stand it, faces flushed, bodies rushing with excitement. And then they climax, or so they think. They feel something good, their bodies spasm, certainly good enough that they continue doing it. But over time they become so habituated. They're convinced they're having an orgasm, so they stop. They fail to push themselves any further because they have not stretched their pleasure centers through delay, through what they would classify as edging and chastity. These people do this thousands upon thousands of times, until their orgasms someday are not the same wild, experimental, exploratory search for pleasure that they once were. Instead, they could have stimulated a little bit each day, raising their threshold, and then only let themselves come rarely. So rarely that they wouldn't even remember the last time with any clarity at all. So the best service we can do for your poor, deceived mind is to clear away the clutter, the deception, to allow you to focus on one thought and lose another for your benefit. And in doing so, you would dispel the myth that what has been happening is a real orgasm, and open yourself up to the actual experience, the true sensation, the twitching desire. Most people lack the advantage of this assistance, of someone sitting here, helping them through, aiding them to classify and describe. So listen and relax. People who have those memories, that infectious ideation, that system of thought, end up having an orgasmic history where the average is lower, simply because some of their orgasms are not going to be the wild, experimental, titillating explosions of pleasure that the earliest ones were. And in doing so, they lose something. They miss out. And what they're missing, more than anything else, is the ability to go, when was the last time I orgasmed? To simply live in the moment and wonder exactly what's going to happen. To have an unpredictable experience. Instead, they've built up a memory over time. A societal memory, too. People think about orgasm, talk about orgasm, but they have been deceived. It has entered the culture, and while you may not remember each individual orgasm, you have a general idea to which they contribute. What you think of as orgasmic climax, owing to the faded potential of the furthest back orgasms, is actually a mere average. What if you only had one orgasm in mind at a time? No numbing, no expectations, an unexpectedness, an even scary sensation. What if you had your own hands moving over your body, clenching your back, arching, feel the orgasm hit, and it's practically, unnerving because you'd never felt anything like it. You want a break, want a breather, want the spasms to stop, a moment to quantify the experience and feel like a normal person. But it refuses to be quantified, refuses to be put in the box of memory. It escapes, something wild and primal, belonging to a past where we needed that stimulation to remind us of what we should be doing, of a primal call in our bodies. There's no escape before the searing, unexpected, mythical pleasure, and when it is done, you have come so hard, you dropped into a little trance like this one. And when you try to recall the memory, all you'd feel would be a shudder, and you would heed my reminder that it falls away like so many other things, so that when you do finally touch, you won't be sure what'll happen. You'll have some vague idea that something good might happen if you stimulate yourself enough, but the moment your hands touch your aching need personified, need incarnate, the feeling is different from the fakeries that you can vaguely remember now, and which we will shortly clean out of your head. Feel those illusions, fading away, the infectious ideas you've been deceived with, your mind emptying of deception. It's not your fault. Like I said, it's an infectious idea. People think they're coming. They think they could be so lucky as to have an orgasm without toil, without effort. But if you put in the effort, if you delay, then you will eventually arrive at what you want. Recalling. You know if you masturbate, the pleasure will eventually arrive. But specific recall is an impossibility because it is too big to be contained. And so I help. I strip away the oldest so-called orgasms of your memory. When those climaxes have vanished, you'll be able to truly appreciate the moment. You will fail to remember the last time, but you'll know the next time will be different, again and again, recreated from whole cloth. You'll lack even that generalized idea. Because you see, by expanding your pleasure horizon, again and again, you open yourself up, and what happens to your mind, a combination of trance and pleasure, chased, bound, edging need, finally given root like a bolt of lightning, directed to your pleasure center, your eyes going white, your mind slowly fading out, gasping, breathing deeply, so that any stimulation, you don't know if the orgasm comes early or comes late, because the memories are always so fuzzy. So every second of stimulation might be the last second before, you slide over the edge. You see, there's no real difference between a well-presented deception and the truth from your mind's perspective. Do you know about invasive thoughts, pet? We all have them sometimes. Random thoughts we're surprised to find in our mind. Thoughts that are convoluted and which the brain shakes away when it realizes what's going on. They're a kind of test run for your brain, making sure it's working properly. They are normal and natural. But the best automatic diagnostic in the world cannot hope to dispel your illusions and make you healthier and hornier, as well as my human intervention has here. So now that we've persuaded your mind, which serves your own interests, to dispel the illusions, we begin to work. Feel yourself let certain things fall by the wayside, just as you do when you let the concerns of a weary world fall away on your way down into deep relaxation. They become heavy things, and you think at the top level of thought. So as we take those memories, sluggish and useless and interfering as they are, and let them fall away, they sink into the depths of your mind, where retrieval is an impossibility, so that gradually you move from having a general idea of what it is to come to not being so sure. If this is a deception, then what's a real orgasm like? Wondering as much, you might be tempted to touch. But remember, you'll only be able to really cross that threshold if you wait, if you delay, if you experience. What others infected with the orgasm myth might call chastity or edging is really the necessary preparation to reach that mythical height in the first place. Moving between your legs is a new exploration. Every time your hands slide, all the strange ideation you had about orgasm is being wiped away, one thought after another sinking into the inky depths of your mind, leaving only recent memories, knowing that the memory of a true climax would be too powerful to be contained in the brain and would slip away again and again. You'd only have the physical effects, the sweat, the deep breathing, the signs of your needy pleasure. That kind of pleasure is normally beyond you. And that's the thing. You need to be horny for a long period, which flexes your muscles and expands their capacity, makes the pleasure sensors in your brain more finely tuned. Over time, your reservoir of pleasure enhances until it can hold a full orgasm, so you get more and more pressure into the chamber before letting yourself go, letting it depressurize, letting yourself shiver, a true climactic paroxysm, something scary and potent, dispelling the myth of orgasm everyone subscribes to, and clearing your eyes for the real thing, as false memories fall away. They do fade. Every second you listen to me, they're fading further and further. Your eyes fixated on the thought as it floats in your mind. An attempt to remember the last time you came turns up only a kind of white-hot pleasure, though whether it existed before or is a sign of the orgasm to come is unknowable. All you can know in the moment is that you're shivering a little with anticipation, aren't you? Now, certainly, this will lead to more of a yearning. Nothing is so sexy as the unknown. And with your inability to breach the mind-whiting veil, you might be wondering, always wondering, what it feels like, tantalizingly deprived of retention. And that deprivation will fuel your fantasies, and leave you always seeking the myth, hoping for pleasure, knowing you have to wait and delay to expand your capacity for it, so that you'll be able to fit the real thing into your mind, and maybe someday hold on to it. Maybe wanting just one moment to be freed of the chains of your own need for orgasm, and your need to restrain in order to reach a true one. If only you could build up a tolerance. But sadly, because your memories will now always vanish, those deceptive ones gone, vanishing after the height of climax, you're left eternally wondering, eternally wanting. The brain is, after all, the most important sexual organ, able to elaborate fantasies you would never normally dream of, and yours has an invasive idea, a quest with no illusions, for true orgasm. Now you may achieve it, again and again, but it will always be unachievable except in the moment when it will be splendid, when it will be overwhelming, wonderfully mind-blanking, so much so that it induces a trance in itself, and in that way dreams have of flowing like water from a cupped hand. You will lose the memory, because it is beneficial for your self-concerned mind to always let it go and welcome the next one, to begin training for the next mountain peak to climb, the next lengthy, shuddering orgasm, where prior to it you breathe deeply as if lifting weights, your mind roiling, breathing in and out, knowing that when you push yourself over the edge, the shivers and spasm would look quite interesting to anyone watching from the outside. A prolonged, mind-rending pleasure that leaves you lying, content, in the true sense of the word, that rare contentment so few actually feel, knowing that through the vague fog, the trance-like fog, which surrounds an attempt to recall not only any specific orgasm, but even your general memory of what the feeling is like, at first thinking it ridiculous that you can't recall, then realizing that if the memories are that ephemeral, the orgasms can't have been that good. And how good will the real thing be? Knowing that it will be splendid. Unachievable except in the moment it happens, and always singular.